Good morning, Bishop Ed Akers here with my 9:45 live every Sunday morning to give you 15 minutes to jumpstart your week. I hope today will be an encouragement to you, and that's an appropriate statement for me to make with my message subject today. I just want to greet you this morning, though, and thank you for all of you that support Victorious Living International, those who participate and attend Victorious Living Church. We're so grateful for all of our church family and partners and supporters around the world who help us fulfill the call and the mandate that we believe God has put on our life to reach the world with the overcoming message of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to talk to you about the subject of discouragement. The subject of discouragement. You know, all of us face times of discouragement. Every human being on the earth will face discouragement. It is part of the human experience, no doubt about it. And I'm sure some of you watching today, you're walking through discouragement even as you tune in today, whenever you're watching this or listening to this. I know I've faced discouragement in my life. It's impossible to live this life and not face discouragement. In fact, sometimes it's odd that you'll go to bed at night in a good mood, a joyous place, feeling pretty happy, and wake up and just all of a sudden start feeling discouraged. It is an emotional wave that comes on like a tidal wave, splashing in and out of the sea of our heart. And I know some of you today are facing discouraging situations. There are a lot of things that I think cause discouragement, just uncertainty of life, overall bad news. We all face it. A loss of a loved one, a loss of a relationship, loss of a job, a loss of hope. Maybe you find out news about someone that's discouraging and disappointing. Maybe things aren't going quite the way they should in your life with your family or your kids or your spouse. And discouragement starts to creep in. I think it's not something to feel guilty about or to feel like you're abnormal. All of us face times of discouragement. And a big question I've got through the years as a leader and as a pastor and as a person who lives my life the best that I can from an orientation of the Bible, a worldview of the scriptures being what I live my life by, I've been asked, how do I deal with discouragement? Some people feel so discouraged, they're already in a state of despair. I want to say to you on the onset that this is where the spiritual dynamic begins to shift. It's kind of common and normal for us to have moments of discouragement and uncertainty, but when it moves into hopelessness and despair, we begin to have an open door for the enemy, the spiritual dynamic of demonic oppression to find its way into our heart. No matter how difficult our situations may be, no matter how difficult life may be as it comes on us, we can overcome discouragement before it migrates into something deeper. You say, well, you haven't been what I've been through. You haven't gone through what I've gone through. And that's true, but the same can be said from me to you. You've not gone through what I've gone through. Nobody has a corner on difficulty or discouraging situations and circumstances. Not one person is subject to that when no one else is. We all have different degrees of this in our life, but how we deal with it, how we face it, how we go through it, especially as a Christian, is drastically changed and altered if we face it a scriptural way. Know, first of all, that discouragement comes to everyone, and we find this in no greater measure or explanation than in the life of King David and in the Psalms. Many of the Psalms reflect a man on a high and a low journey of life, a place where sometimes his mood seems very high, his confidence and courage very bold, and other times he's hiding under a rock, looking for a way to get through what feels as if the entire world is imploding upon him. There is a good group of Bible verses about discouragement that we can look at in the book of Psalms, in Psalm chapter 42, verse 5 through 11. And I want to read that today to you specifically, because sometimes just the word speaking, the Bible itself brings the words of life greater than I can ever do it in my explanations or my message. But this is from the New Living Translation. I like the way this is dealt with here. David says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. But now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. Sometimes you feel like overwhelmed by life. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. O God, my God, my rock, I cry. Why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief? Oppressed by my enemies, they taunt. Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. There's some really, really good points in here. And I think we've experienced just about every one of these feelings that David has experienced in Psalm 42. First of all, he asks himself, why am I so discouraged? Sometimes it's a perplexing situation. When we know the Word of God, we know God's promises, we know what God's done in our life, but we still find ourselves discouraged. And like David, I've often asked myself, why have I allowed myself to get to this place? Why am I discouraged? I have no reason to be. I shouldn't be. Compare my life to other people and I have a great life. And why am all of a sudden am I feeling this great discouragement? And I think that's a good question to ask ourselves to start out with. Why am I discouraged? What's the source of my discouragement? Is it something I should be discouraged about? Is it something that's real? Is it lasting? Is it life impacting? I've seen people worked up over situations that I would consider minimal to the importance of life. But still, discouragement comes. And I'm sure some people would look at me and wonder why I'm discouraged about something that they would minimize. But what we cannot minimize is what David does next. He says, first of all, why am I so sad? Why am I so discouraged? And then in the next breath, he says, I will put my hope in God. Now, how do I put my hope in God when I'm discouraged? Well, generally, I would say that discouragement comes by being focused on the circumstance or a set of circumstances that now have become so enlarged in your focus, in your thoughts, and in your preoccupation with time in your mind, that you're only thinking about this negative situation or this possible problem or this actual real loss. And it's become the full measure of your thought processes, of your focus of thinking. You're trying to figure it out. You're trying to think about it. You're wishing you weren't going through it. You have to change your focus. We have to change our focus. What we magnify, what we focus on, determines the degree of courage or discouragement we walk in. You have to shift your focus from the circumstance and put it back on God. Now, how do I do that, Pastor? How do I do that when this situation is so overwhelming? The person I loved isn't here anymore. The job I depended on is gone. Everything that I'm familiar with is shifted. So how do I change focus? Well, number one, how to change focus, he tells us, I will praise him again. Wow, I will praise him again. So the first step then is to change focus by praising God. Now, what am I praising him for if this situation is bad? I'm sure that just like my enemies, or David's enemies said, where's your God? Sometimes in your own discouragement, you're saying, where is God? Why did God allow? Where is God in this? And it's easy to let those thoughts swirl in your mind and put a doubt on God. And that's what the serpent did in the Garden of Eden to get us to fall in the first place. He put doubt on God in our minds. And doubt will come. But praising God, you start to praise God and say, well, how do I do that? Well, David gives us another pointer in here when he says, I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, verse 6, but I will remember you. Remember your salvation. Remember when he saved you. Remember that he gave you that person or that thing or that job in the first place and gave you the years of enjoyment, the years of blessing to have that. Remember what he's done for you before, past victories, past healings, past blessings. And in the remembrance, begin to praise him and thank him. There's an old hymn that you say, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Start to count what God has done in your life and what he's still doing. You might do it through tears and discouragement, but yet I will praise you, O God, for you are worthy to be praised. And when those words come out of your mouth, they feed back into your spirit, they feed back into your heart and mind, and they lift you. There is a lift in praise, in praising God that cannot be found in any other way. I will praise him again. I will remember what he's done for me. And then he says, he goes on down and he talks about the Talmud and all of that. But then he says about prayer. He says that I will pray because in the prayers, I see the God who gives me life and loves me every day. Spending time with God, praising him, remembering, and then praying. By spending time with him, you'll begin to feel the surge of his love and the life that he gives when he's present. Praise and prayer brings presence, which brings life. And discouragement will begin to fade. When the focus has changed from the circumstance to God, from complaining to praising, from prayerlessness to prayer, hope begins to rise because he is the giver of life and hope. God is for you, not against you. God is with you. God desires to minister to you. He's reaching out to you. And I'm here to tell you today, discouragement does not have to determine destiny. You do not have to have despair in your future. Praying to God, you will find his love there. Discouragement comes, but the demonic principality and spirit of despair and hopelessness does not have to come. I can be discouraged, but not hopeless. I can be down some, but not defeated. I can have fallen, but get back up again, because destiny is not determined by discouragement. Destiny is determined by determination and prayer and praising him. The word of God is constant. It lasts forever. The Lord is faithful and always has been. You can find his faithfulness if you look back through your life. You know even now he's faithful to hear your prayers despite your discouragement. Joy comes in the morning, as the Bible says, weeping lasts but for a night. I believe that God wants to give you hope today. Joshua 1:9. The Lord gives this order or command to Joshua. Now remember, Moses is dead. Joshua has inherited a complaining bunch of people. He's about to go into the promised land, but he's going to face a lot of problems on the way. And the Lord tells him, in the midst of his grieving over Moses and a nation looking for a leader, he tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wow, what a great promise from God. That promise echoes to you today. If you're feeling discouraged, don't go into despair. Begin to praise him again. Begin to remember and recall the blessings that God has already given you. Spend time in prayer and watch the Lord bring his loving presence and his hope of life back to you again. This weeping will not last forever if your focus changes. The Lord is with you, and He's for you. I want to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, all of those who feel depressed and discouraged and even in despair, let them know that hopelessness is not a reality. The reality is our hope is in You, our Lord, our Savior, and our God. We will say, as David did in verse 11 of his psalm, I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Lord, release the bound. I command depression and anxiety and despair to leave the life of all of those who are listening to this prayer. I take authority over it in Jesus' name, and I say that they can walk in the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We give You all the praise, Lord, for being our hope and our Savior, our Lord and our God. And we will not stay discouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. Once again, as a reminder, if you are a partner to Victorious Living International, go to victoriousliveinternational.com to our contact and donate page. Partner with us. We still need several thousand dollars to come in before the end of October to help us fulfill our commitments to the Crusades in the Philippines between November 6th and November 17th. Pray that we will see hundreds and even thousands of people come to Christ and miracles take place and the church expanded throughout four various cities on the island of Mindanao in the Philippines. Well, God bless you. I appreciate your support. Any size gift is a blessing. Nothing is too small. Nothing is insignificant. Every gift and donation and prayer you give toward us makes an eternal difference in the life of people that we are touching and meeting today. Well, God bless you. Remember these words from 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Join us at 10:45 for a live service here at Victorious Living Church. Still got time to get here if you want to come in person if you're in the area. If not, join us online. God bless you. Have a great week, and I'll speak with you again next week at 9:45 on Sunday morning. Have a great week.